Thank you very much, Brandon. Brandon's behind the glass. This is Steve Strusinski, Strewman. Mark Lukey's here. And Boomer's not here for the four outdoorsmen, but Eric Hegel is here, right?
That's right.
Eric is the fourth outdoorsman. But you have to understand, when you come and sub, we don't pay you. You understand that?
Wait a second.
No. And Boomer's getting paid for sitting at home right now.
Wow. I just gave him two tickets to the St. Paul Sports Show.
You're so getting paid. You just got paid.
That's more than we probably get paid.
Is that reportable income? Or?
No. It is now, though.
Hey, welcome to the Four Outdoorsmen, everybody. I'll tell you what. I say this once in a while. If you're a regular listener, boy, thanks a lot because we have a lot of fun. If you're new, check it out, man. Listen for about an hour and we're laughing and learning on the Four Outdoorsmen. Before we start talking about the outdoors and hunting and fishing and all this BS, I got to do a shout-out to my grandkids. My wife, Diana, and I, we have 10 grandkids. It's almost impossible to get everybody together at the same time, so we just celebrated Christmas today with our son Nick, my daughter-in-law Pam, and their 5 kids up in Milltown, Wisconsin by Balsam Lake. So I've got to say hi to Hannah, Henry, guess what letter all these names are going to start with. Hannah,
W.
Henry, Haley, Heidi, and Hogan. Hey, thanks for inviting us over today, you guys. We love you tons. You know that. Take care of yourselves and enjoy all the gifts you got from us and Santa for Christmas. So we love you guys a lot. So Merry Christmas to you guys. So how was your Christmas, Eric?
It was great. Day 9 of Christmas season, I think, is just wrapped up. But no, it was good. It was nice. Every family in town, and you do one event to the next, but it's a nice time of year, a little bit of a break, chance to get outside a little bit. And then, of course, this weather came in.
Well, let's tell the whole world who Eric Hegel is.
Would you want me to introduce him?
Yes.
Well, Eric and I met at the University of Minnesota, probably the first weekend I moved up from Sun Prairie, Wisconsin. I had no friends. I had very fun dorm neighbors, and they, how did it go? They met you
how
somewhere.
How did you become friends? Because he doesn't even drink.
we hung out like probably the first or second weekend of college at 18 years old. And we've been friends ever since. Eric's my hunting and fishing buddy. He lives right next to me and Hugo, so we both are very busy with small children, but he takes me out. He takes me places. We go duck hunting together. We go fishing together. We went fishing 2 days ago.
Is that the picture you posted? Was Eric with you that night?
He was, yep. Yeah. Cool. But he doesn't have all our sponsor gear on, so I couldn't put him in any of our pictures.
Yeah, unfortunately, I didn't have anything approved on.
Just kidding. No, yeah. Eric and I have done a lot of outdoor stuff together for last 20 years. He's been on some of our trips together.
Yeah.
We should recap some of those beauties. We went to Gogebic, Michigan with Eric.
Yeah, we have a really good habit of picking the weekend where it's going to be, what, 30? Between 30 and 40 below with preferably a 25 to 35-mile-an-hour wind.
Yes, yep. Yes.
We went up to Gogebic. Is that the lake it is on?
Yep, well, Lake Gogebic, yep.
This is maybe 4 years ago, 3 years ago, whatever it was, and forget. What's the name of the gentleman who took us up there? Our guide.
Oh.
John Sibley.
Anyway, so in all of his years in guiding, it was the only time, the first time ever, that they canceled anyone going on the ice because it was dangerous. And we drove, that's got to be 300 miles.
Yeah.
And it was cold. It was windy. We couldn't even go. So we went the second day, and I sat in the fish house with John's dad the entire time, and he talks more than I do.
That's
hard to believe. So the first day, even though we didn't go fishing on the lake, we went to some like VFW or Legion, and they were having some kind of a fundraiser, so we all paid $10 to join a fishing tournament, and both you guys won something, right?
We were minor celebrities in the town of Ironwood, Michigan.
Yeah. I was in the paper. my friend sent me a picture in the paper. I got a $50 prize for the smallest fish of the tournament.
Yeah.
That was the only fish I caught in Gogebic was a 4-inch perch. But it was a winner.
That's a long way to go, man. Didn't even pay for gas. It's a long way to go. You know, you guys did better last night or 2 nights ago than we did up in Gogebic, I'll tell you that.
But he also went on it. We were supposed to go to Devil's Lake with Eric, but then had to turn around last year, and we went to Mille Lacs. You remember that one,
too? And
twice.
That was
twice.
Fun.
We tried twice, both weekends.
Really?
25 below. We rescheduled the first weekend. The second weekend, we got about, 10 minutes from Boomer's house?
Yeah.
And Tanner called.
Yeah.
Said you can drive if you want, but
I wouldn't.
You're not going fishing. So,
when someone that loves to fish says I wouldn't drive if I were you, I would not drive.
So we've been boomered a lot. Mark, your Christmas, how did it go, friend?
It went great. I spent some time in Butterfield, Minnesota, at my wife's childhood home. Got to cut some wood, got to ride tractors, play in a shop. It's kind of nice getting my city kids out in the country and running around in the snow and dirt and causing trouble, and I like it. So I had a great time. My in-laws are great people, and it was special. The kids are at an age right now. I have a 2-year-old, a 4-year-old, and a 7-year-old where Christmas is really special.
Yeah.
So being able to do that with them and see them, you know, open presents, and it was a great time. But I'm going to be honest with you. I love my kids. I can't wait to go to work.
being a mom is the hardest job in the world, pal. Yeah, it really is. It has to be.
After, you know, 3 days of playing, Transformers and stuff, I'm like, oh, I got to get out of here. Well, we can't go outside because the weather's been so crappy, too. So I just felt cooped up. It's crazy.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing. We might speak with Gary Benson tonight. He's up on Mille Lacs right now. I call him the fishing fireman, and find out what ice conditions are like. Because, frankly, in Chautauqua, Wisconsin, which is about the same, latitude. What the hell do I know?
That would be latitude, I
would
think.
Would it be latitude? Yeah. As where we are right now, and it's scary, man. It's all slush, and I didn't see anybody out there. I think it's, you got to be careful, and I wonder what it's like up on Mille Lacs. I know they're having issues. So,
well, and that's what's so curious too, because this storm this weekend, I think there was almost a snow line as you went west and north, and those guys up north were already dealing with 3 to 6 inches of ice, and then they got dumped on. And now you get melt and you get snow, and you had slush before. Now you certainly have slush.
So you were talking about when we were fishing how this might actually be good. If we don't get snow, this could be good for the ice, because if it melts all this crap and then freezes hard and we don't have 6 inches of crap, that would be good. But now that snow's coming, we're going to have really thin ice and a pile of snow on it. And weather that's not cold enough probably to build a whole lot.
That's the asterisk with it. We were out, and we had this weird freeze around the metro and just north of the metro, where we had some lakes that were partially frozen and it thawed, and then they all froze, and then we got some snow. And so people are getting out, and it's ATVs, but we weren't setting up to be driving full-size trucks anytime soon.
Right.
And then we get 3 days of rain. Yep. And that was I remember sitting with Mark and saying, this meltdown, we'll go below zero. We'll get a nice glare ice, and we are set for the rest of the winter.
Hope so.
But what's that forecast for tomorrow now? 4 to 8 inches of snow?
Snow up north.
Yeah. Anyway. Now, tell you what, now be honest with me, and don't take this lightly. Did you make Mark walk in front of you when he went on the ice 2 nights ago?
Oh, of course.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. You're a smart man. You're a smart man.
There was plenty of ice 2 nights ago, but it's going to be a mess. So I'm going to go through a few shout-outs here. Thank you, everyone, that wrote into the shout-out. If you want to be on the show, go to the Four Outdoorsmen Facebook page and comment in the shout-out section. We got a bunch of them, and thank you, everyone, for checking in, and thank you for listening. Our friend Will Goble says, Will Goble checking in from the Fish House. I hope you are far, far up north, Will. Thank you for checking in. Our friend and sponsor, Bill Katz, said left red yesterday with a limit plus a bonus perch. I saw some great pictures from you, Bill. We'll have to hear all about that story maybe next week. Eric Hegel, my co-host, said youngest son Micah's first time ice fishing. And that's a great picture, Eric. And I think we're going to talk about that if we have some time, as we've both have experience with getting kids out for the first time on ice. And we could talk the do's and don'ts for dads, getting your kids out on the ice. Tony Farin said, guys, trip to Bowstring. I hope you saw Bill and Aaron up there. Tough bite to figure out, but once we dialed it in, the fireworks began. And you went to Bowstring with us, too.
Yeah, that was
You've been on every cool trip we went on.
Yeah, that was with Nick Fairbanks.
Yep, we'll talk about Bowstring in a second once I get through these. Jen Olson says, weather sucks. I want to go fishing. Amen, sister. Mike Jepson said, can't wait for the show. Thanks. And shows a nice picture of a crappie. He's somewhere where it looks decent. Mike Rogers says, fish on. And Scott Olzenak says, go Pack, go. And I want to give a shout-out to my Packers for squeaking out another terrible, terrible victory.
Your Packers. They're your
Packers.
It's
been the most successful, ugly season ever. What was that? Brandon.
That was Brandon.
Wasn't me.
So, the Vikes were ugly today. The Packers squeaked out an ugly victory. But here we go.
Life goes on, pal. More important things than that. One of the most important things that's going to happen tonight, we're going to talk to Gary Benson, the fishing fireman's on the phone right now. Gary, you there?
Yeah, hey, how you doing? A second, my line just went down. I'm about to catch one here.
You got one on the line right now?
Yeah, have my rattle reel. I'm jigging, and my rattle reel just went down another hole, so I'm about to see if I can, if I suck still or if I can catch one here.
Well, give us the play-by-play. Give us the play-by-play as this thing happens. Live. Yeah.
Yeah, just a second. He's taking some line right now. Let's see what we can do. If I swear, you know what happened.
Hey, Gary's on Mille Lacs. Gary Benson's a good friend of mine I play softball with, and we call him the fishing fireman because his job is he's a fireman. But I'll tell you what, since you're catching that fish, I got to tell you, I played softball a couple of days ago. We're playing in the Dome in Stillwater every Thursday. And Steve Houle, you know who Steve Houle is, right, Gary?
I got him.
What do you got?
I got him. He's not a very big one, but it's a... You know, on the lag, this would be a great keeper on red, but here you can't keep crap, so I got to throw him back.
You know, again, he's on Mille Lacs, and Gary, I think about Gary Benson a lot because he fishes. Like, either he really, really loves to fish, or he doesn't particularly care about his wife, because he's it's one of the two.
He can be both, right?
Can you do Hey, Gary, tell us, what are the ice conditions like? What are the roads like on Lake Mille Lacs right now?
Well, I just came out in my four-wheeler from the house here, and it's a little slushy, but we got anywhere from, I'm just a little north of Garrison. There's about 8 to 11 inches, and, you know, it's a little slushy, but it's good ice for your four-wheeler.
Yeah.
You know, as long as you have chains on.
Okay, you're catching up a couple of walleyes right now. You've been on the ice about 2 hours. What are you using? How deep?
I'm right off that first break here, so I'm right at the bottom of it. It's about 15 and a half. And I'm just, I caught, now my jig stick's going here.
I think we need to go up to Mille Lacs tomorrow.
it's good right now. I mean, I didn't get out here until about 3 today, and it was kind of slow, but it's picking up. I missed, I hate to say it, I was 0 for 3, and then I caught 3 in a row now after that. So, I was jigging, and all of a sudden I had a nice one on, and my rattle reel's going too. And I pull, so I'm like, okay, I'll let him go, and I'll do my jig stick. I pull up big eel pout, and then I missed the one on the rattle reel. God, I'm terrible.
Hey, listen, pal, we got to go to break here a couple of seconds. Thanks for calling in and giving us a report, and we'll stay in touch with you the entire winter season because I know how much you love the ice fish. You're up there an awful lot.
All right. Well, nice talking to you guys.
We'll catch him. Send us some pictures, all right?
All right, I will if I ever get anything I can keep to brag about at least.
Take care, buddy.
Yeah, right, he's see ya.
Now watch. I know Gary real well. I wouldn't be surprised if he's sitting in a bar right now pretending like he's ice fishing. Yeah. You know,
that was kind of. I don't know if you've ever had the actual catching a fish play-by-play
yeah,
before.
That's pretty cool. No, he's a good guy. He's one of the best softball players I know, and is a good guy, and he loves the outdoor. He fishes more than anybody I know. But again, with his job, he's on like 4 days on, 4 days off, whatever those kind of things are. And then he gets a week off. I don't know how it goes. And he fishes as much as he can. And good for him. And he brings his son up there all the time. It's a big family deal. So good for him. Good for him. How much time we got, Brandon? 2 minutes? All right.
We got a solid 4. What do you got?
You got a solid 4? Okay. Yep. Here's what's happening. I'm concerned about the DNR not finding people enough for some things they did.
That's a controversial statement.
I'm gonna
you're the one who's concerned about the DNR.
I'm gonna talk about this here. Anyway, there's some guys who were there was some netting on Boulder Lake. There were 4 nets that were found on Boulder Lake over the last year or two, whatever it's been.
Where's Boulder Lake?
I don't know where it is. And anyway, so they never found the people who had them. Then all of a sudden, just in 2018, I think, the DNR got a tip, and they found 3 nets that were illegally set, gill nets, and they got the guys who did it, and they fined them, honest to God, I think the total was, okay, you're going to be suspended from fishing for a year, no jail time or anything, as long as you're a good person for a year, and they got fined a total of about $1,000. Now, that sounds like a lot of money, but if you keep breaking the law, and I'm not sure if this was the first time or not, could they prove that? I think that's a big, big deal. That's poaching, all right? That's a big, big deal. Now, in Nebraska, I believe is where it was, 2 guys were caught using a 308 to hunt white-tailed deer, which is illegal there for some reason.
308 and, can't be illegal.
Well, there. I'll show you the story.
Okay.
And they shot, and they did it from their vehicle.
That's a problem.
And
okay.
and it was either too early or too late or out of season. Those guys got fined $20,000.
Wow.
They lost their license for a year or two, whatever it is, and they have to pay $20,000 in restitution. That's a big deal.
That is a big deal.
You know, so I wonder how they determine what your fine is for what crime you do as far as poaching and whatnot.
Yeah. To me, there's a difference in poaching between getting maybe having one or two over your limit and throwing nets in there and keeping nets and netting fish. So yeah. There should be a better sliding scale. But, yeah, I think they got off easy for getting caught with illegal nets.
Well, and I think most of that stuff is set by the legislature.
Yeah.
It's not the DNR sets that stuff up.
Correct, okay. when you set that in. So then you're dealing with obviously varying degrees of knowledge. But, yeah, even if you go back to the DNRs, I was, excuse me, talking about enforcement, and you have a warden who is in charge, 600 square miles or whatever they cover on average. To have laws that actually would have some teeth to them
would
do a lot more policing than knocking
otherwise,
out
an extra. It's almost a waste of time.
Correct,
it's like
yeah.
You're searching hard to get $50 out of someone that, had some minor infraction, but,
you know. How many times did the DNR, I'm trying to think of the name of the book that I read about the DNR and game wardens.
Oh, Poachers Caught?
Oh, it's wonderful. Yeah. It's wonderful. And then these guys, like in the 50s, 60s, and 70s, they would get their thermos, couple of sandwiches, sit in the woods all night long, catch some guy doing the wrong thing, and fine him $50 and take and send him away. You got to be kidding me. Go ahead, Mark.
Oh, I was just going to say 1 minute. Who do we got coming on after
break?
Hey,
Chris Niskanen is the communications director, I believe, for the DNR. Been with the DNR for about 7, 8, 9 years, I think, something like that. We're going to talk about a lawsuit that's taking place right now where I forget the name of the organization who is suing the DNR for not protecting the lynx. And there's only like 60 lynx, from what I understand, in the state of Minnesota right now. And the last 10 years, I think 6 have been killed by being trapped. And, you know, when someone else is trying to trap muskrats or whatever it is, and they're getting caught in these traps, and a couple of them are dying. And so the DNR is being sued to do a better job of protecting them. We're going to talk about that. Then we're going to talk about the CWD thing with the deer again, the white-tailed deer, and the temporary ban on moving deer for the next 30 days to see what we can do. I can't picture what that's going to do, but it's going to do something. And so Chris Niskanen is going to be on DNR after this word from the our sponsors. And thanks for listening, guys. Come back to the Four Outdoorsmen.
Missed part of Bob Outdoors? No problem. Just click on the weekend tab at mybobcountry.com to listen back to the Four Outdoorsmen anytime.
The Devil's Lake Secret has been out for many, many years. It's one of the top 5 fisheries in this country and is just waiting for you to make memories. Devil's Lake just might be the jumbo perch capital of the world. And now is the time to book your trip by going to devilslakend.com. There's great hotels, great eateries, great fishing, and a package deal to fit anybody who loves catching walleyes and perch through the ice. Hey, Devil's Lake, exciting, unique, and a superb ice fishing experience for the whole family. Book your memories now, devilslakend.com.
Rent a premium ice house from icefishmn.com. These ice houses come ready to fish, preheated and drilled. Icefishmn.com rents these 2017 or newer sleeper houses by the night on Gull or other Brainerd area lakes. Remember, there's no slot limit on Gull Lake. Go to icefishmn.com now for easy online reservations. That's icefishmn.com. For best availability, reserve your premium sleeper house now at icefishmn.com.
Right down the street from our studio in Ramsey, Minnesota, off of Highway 10, is the best marine and power sports dealer in the Twin Cities, Power Lodge. Boomer here, looking for a new Alumacraft with an Evinrude motor, Sea-Doo jet ski, or a Can-Am ATV for your next adventure? Power Lodge has you covered with 3 locations in Ramsey, Onamia, and in Brainerd. With full service shops at 3 locations and award-winning customer service, Power Lodge is where I take my boat to get ready for the open water. Visit powerlodge.com to learn more.
Producer Mark here for Vexilar Electronics. Our normal spokesman, Boomer, is out tonight sick, but I want to talk about the Vexilar. They are the leaders in marine electronics for the past 60 years. I have a FLX 28 that I've been using for 3 years now, and it's simply the best machine I've ever had. I love it because you can zoom in on the bottom 6 feet, and that comes in real handy when you're trying to entice things off the bottom. It's just a great unit. It lasts 2-3 days on one charge, and I cannot leave or I cannot go anywhere without my Vexilar. So for more information, go to Vexilar.com. And also the K-Drill is the latest in drilling bits. You can drill a ton of ice on it. It's easy to carry around. Go to Vexilar.com for more information. That's Vexilar.com.
Mauer Chevrolet presents the 50th annual Minnesota Sportsman Show, January 9th through the 12th at St. Paul's River Center. Here's what you'll see at the show. Get early boat show pricing on the most sought-after fishing boats, pontoons, runabouts, personal watercrafts, docks, and lifts. Get early RV show pricing on RVs, campers, trailers, and more. Reserve the best vacation dates now with hundreds of hunting and fishing resorts so you can plan your vacation right at the show. See the latest in outdoors electronics from the experts at Reed's. Custom fishing rods, reels, and discount tackle. Check out Steve Porter's live white-tailed deer, including Heart Attack, a 32-point monster buck. Enjoy great family fun, including Twiggy, the water-skiing squirrel, Ron Shara's kids' fishing clinics, and learn how to train your dog for shed antler hunting. Take in fishing seminars with expert Ted Takasaki. For $1 discount coupons and show information, visit stpaulsportsshow.com. Bring the whole family to the Sportsman Show, January 9th through the 12th at St. Paul's River Center.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, and I'm here to tell you about my brand new product from MyPillow. Just like all of you out there, I had problems with bath towels. They just don't seem to dry you anymore. They feel soft and lotiony in the stores, but you get them home and they don't absorb. Well, I found out that around 2006, towels changed forever. They started importing them and adding softeners and other things to the cotton that made them feel good, but they didn't work. Well, I found the best towel company right here in the USA. They have proprietary technology so that I was able to create towels that feel soft but actually work. They're all made with USA cotton, and they come with my 60-day money-back guarantee.
Go to MyPillow.com and enter the promo code Bob, or call 800-606-7812 to take advantage of this amazing offer.
If you or someone you know is struggling with addiction, please call this toll-free number right now. 800-390-9528. That's 800-390-9528. By calling your addiction team, you're taking the first steps to recovery. The help you need could be one call away. 800-390-9528. Make the free call now. 800-390-9528. Your addiction team is a third-party advertiser for various treatment centers and placement networks. Individual results will vary. Visit youraddictionteam.com/terms for more information.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
This is Derek's O'Reilly Auto Parts story.
After the third time jump-starting my car, I finally realized my battery was dying. So I stopped by O'Reilly to have it checked. They tested it right there in the parking lot. It was bad, real bad. But they helped me find the right battery for my car and even installed it for free. Now my car starts like new.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts. Total Country Bob FM.
Hey, we're back with the four outdoorsmen, Strewman, Lukey, and our fourth outdoorsman tonight is Eric Hegel, a good friend of Mark's. I think we must have Chris Niskanen on, do we not? Chris, are you there, buddy?
Hey, Stu, how are you?
Every day's a gift, my friend. Every day's a gift. Thanks for joining the Four Outdoorsmen. Chris Niskanen is the Chief Communications Officer of the DNR. He's been around for about 9 years with the DNR, and we're going to talk about a couple of things concerning the outdoors and hunting and all that stuff. But first, I want to talk about your career prior to becoming involved with the DNR. You were a writer, outdoor news editor for the St. Paul Pioneer Press, right?
Yeah, that's correct. It's true. I was the outdoors editor there for 17 years, and it was a great gig. People always complain that I had the best job at the newspaper, and I did. But what was great about it was I got to travel the state and meet a lot of really great people and tell stories about their experiences in the outdoors.
You know, I'll tell you what, Dave Orrick has become a really good friend of ours. As a matter of fact, Dave might have been one of the first guests we had on about 5 years ago, and he did a nice story about us when we did our 100th show 3 years ago or something like that. So I still stay in touch with Dave Orrick, and he was doing your job for a couple of years as well. And I think the Pioneer Press is like a lot of newspapers, is going backwards and they're cutting corners, and they got rid of the outdoor news editor. And so Dave Orrick is still there, but he's not doing the outdoor news anymore. Now, considering 17 years, was it hard for you to change and say, listen, I'm going to go join the DNR and leave the post you had at the St. Paul Pioneer Press?
You know, it wasn't. I, when I look back on this part of my life, Strew, I go all the way back to college at the University of Minnesota. Steve Panaz, I don't know if you know Steve.
Yeah.
He and I had a journalism class together, and I wrote my first article for a little magazine called Fins and Feathers Magazine. You remember them?
Absolutely, yeah.
Yep, and I think I was all of about 21, 20 years old. And I went on a trip up to Crane Lake, and Ron Shara was there. And I went hunting with Ron Shara when I was about 20 years old.
Wow.
And it was exciting for me. It was exciting to be around Ron, and the love of writing really got sparked there. I ended up working in Iowa at the Quad City Times. I was the outdoor writer there, so I did a lot of stories about the Mississippi River and pheasant hunting, and then I went out to Reno, Nevada, and I was the outdoor writer out there and did a lot of stuff about hunting in the desert, chuckers, fly fishing some of the rivers in the Sierra Nevada, and then I came to St. Paul. So 23 years as an outdoor writer.
I'll tell you what, you didn't mention this, that the first story you did write, you got paid $75.
I got paid $75, yeah.
Yeah, I'm gonna give you.
And I should have kept that check, although I think I used it for beer money, as most college students would. And what it was about a guy, Jim DeOtis, who caught the state record sturgeon up on the Kettle River.
Yeah.
And Jim is still around. He's quite a character, still fishes the St. Croix. But that was how I got my whole start in the outdoor writer business.
I've done a lot of research on it, and we're going to get to the elk. We might not even get to the lynx or the deer. No, we will get to it. But here's something that most people don't know about Chris Niskanen. I've been a St. Paul Pioneer Press guy since I went as a kid. We still get it every day. You won the Minnesota Page One Award. I forget what that is. A Conservation Achievement Award. Best Sports Column Award. Top 20 Sports Sections in the Nation Award. What else you got in here? Lots of stuff. And anyway, so you've been around the block, wrote two books, very highly rated books, and they're still out there. I know that for a fact. But I read a column of yours, a story about the last column you wrote for the St. Paul Pioneer Press, and you had some story. Something said stories I never wrote that you wish you would have written. Okay, here we go. The first one is one of the things. The first one says you never fished with Kirby Puckett.
That was a big regret of mine.
Yeah.
I went fishing with Dennis Green a couple of times, and I'll never forget my time on Mille Lacs with Dennis Green. He was really a super avid fisherman. He's now passed now, which was sad for us. But, I got to fish with a few celebrities, but not fishing with Kirby Puckett would have been the highlight of my career, no doubt.
All right, I'm going to go to the story now that really blows me away is when Ron Shara loaned you guys a hunting dog for a day. Tell this story.
Oh, yeah, this was that trip I just referred to up on Crane Lake.
And?
I've actually reminded Ron of this story. So I'm all of 20 years old. I'm in college, and I brought my buddy along who was excited to be hunting with Ron, and it was in 1988, it was a really big year for grouse. And we're walking down the trail, and Ron says, hey, I'm going to go back to the lodge. Why don't you keep my dog for the rest of the afternoon? So we're walking down this trail, and the dog is ahead of us, and it comes out of the woods, and between the dog and us, there's a grouse sitting in the trail. And my buddy is focused on the grouse. Ron's dog starts running towards us. The grouse flushes. The dog jumps up, and my buddy shoots. And I thought, oh, my God, my buddy just killed Ron Shara's dog.
Oh, man. Yeah.
And the grouse fell. The dog had put it in its mouth and brought it back to us. And I don't know. I mean, my friend Tom was almost, he thought he'd killed the dog too. Not a single pellet touched that dog, Shrew.
Wow.
And wow. And so the gods were shining down on me that day. I've told Ron that story a couple of times, and he just laughs. I think the dog's name was, it was long before Raven. I'll think of it here in a second, but it was a really good dog.
His name was Lucky. I think it was Lucky.
His name was Lucky. Absolutely.
Hey, let's get to the news. We're talking with Chris Niskanen. He's the community director, I think, of the DNR, if you want to call it that. But something's taking place. We'll talk about the CWD first. The DNR is taking emergency actions right now in response to the discovery of chronic wasting disease up in Douglas County. What's 30 days going to do? How can 30 days correct chronic wasting disease?
Well, here's the situation. We work very closely with the Board of Animal Health. There is a small hobby farm up there. One of the deer was shown to have chronic wasting disease. And as we were working with the Board of Animal Health, we learned that this particular hobby farm had deer coming and going out of it for a long time. And so we need to trace out where deer came from and where deer from here went other places from that farm so that we can figure out where possible locations of CWD might exist as a result of this farm.
You know,
it's complicated. It's an investigation that we need to sort of unpack. And we wanted to just say, all right, we're not going to allow farm deer to be moved around the state until we can figure this out.
Do you know how many deer farms are there in the state? Is it a common thing? I mean, it seems kind of strange. You know, is there plenty of those around, or is there just a few?
Well, it's interesting because a lot of people confuse. So that a lot of people think that the DNR regulates deer farms, and we do not. They're regulated by the Board of Animal Health. They're considered livestock, and so. We manage wild deer in the state. Board of Animal Health manages farm deer. I think there's around 330 farmed deer and elk operations in the state. So it's not a small number.
Yeah, that's bigger than I would think.
And this is not a time of the year when they're moving a lot of deer around. But we were able to look in state statutes and show that that in order to protect wild deer, we could put this moratorium in. In order to just make sure that we are not spreading CWD.
Eric's got a question. Go ahead, Eric.
Well, and that, you mentioned a 330 number, and you mentioned this most recent case was a hobbyist or a hobby farm type scenario. I mean, out of that 330, are a lot of these commercial livelihood type operations, or are they just side project type people who like to have deer and raise deer?
You know, you just got outside my expertise limit there. I'm not sure. We've been asked that question a lot. I think it really, if I were to, you know, just sort of based on my knowledge, it's really from the hobbyist all the way up to people who are, you know, running, deer hunting farms where they might have a couple hundred head or something like that.
Okay, yeah, because
go ahead.
If people wanted to learn more about this, you can go to the Board of Animal Health website, and they have a really good link there. My friend Michael Crusan, he's the public information officer over there. They have a great site that explains how they regulate deer and elk farms over there. So.
No, and that's great information. Actually, I don't think many people would have realized that that's not controlled by the DNR.
Right.
And we look at it when it's such a visible thing to deer hunting in Minnesota, which is such a vital part of the outdoor economy, and why we don't treat this like the invasive species, where you can't go to a boat landing without the weed police there and checking every little thing. And then we look at CWD, which could devastate our entire deer hunting sport as we know it, and revenue for the DNR, and it seems to be just kind of an ambiguous type thing.
Well, and I think, you know, I shot a deer this year, and I've been serving it to some of my friends who are not hunters. And if we can't eat deer and feel comfortable with you know, the health of the deer, people aren't going to hunt deer anymore.
I agree.
Let's face it. It's really, you know, a guy's wife is not going to let you serve deer if there's
Come on over, kids. Try this.
Hey, Chris, is it safe to say that if there were no deer farms, there would be no CWD?
There are many vectors, we believe. The DNR has been working on a number of different ways to reduce the risk around certain vectors, like the moving of carcasses around the state. So when you shoot a deer, we really don't want you to move it outside. If you're in that one of those CWD zones, outside. These prions exist in the spinal column. We've prohibited the importation of carcasses from out of state. So we've been really working hard on sort of scientifically looking at how this disease could move around the state, really shutting down those avenues. This, you know, movement of wild deer, of farm deer was just another avenue that we needed to at least just put a temporary moratorium on until we figured out the situation up in Douglas County.
Hey, Chris, would you share the DNR's website or the so people can look more into the CWD controversy?
Yes. It's mndnr.gov/CWD.
Hey, Chris.
mndnr.gov/CWD.
We're going to do something unprecedented on the Four Outdoorsmen. Can we carry you a little bit after break and talk a little bit about the links? Are you okay with that?
Yeah. I don't have I had wanted to check in with our fur bearer biologist, but he was out of the office. So I don't have a whole lot to share with you on that, but I can give you a little bit.
Okay, yeah, just a little bit after the break. We got to go to a break here. And then coming up after that, we'll get a little bit into the lynx and the situation, a little bit of a discussion,
and
if
since,
that's all right with you.
Since we're going to do that, I'm going to tell Clay Houle.
All right, thanks.
Clay, hang on a second. We're going to call you after probably about 6:45. We're going to keep Chris for a couple of minutes after the break, all right?
Should I stay on the phone here, guys?
Yeah. Unless you want to go get a beer, we can call you back. Makes no difference.
No, I'll stay on the phone.
All
thanks.
Right.
All right.
Let's take a break right now, okay, buddy?
Right down the street from our studio in Ramsey, Minnesota, off of Highway 10, is the best marine and power sports dealer in the Twin Cities, Power Lodge. Boomer here, looking for a new Alumacraft with an Evinrude motor, Sea-Doo jet ski, or a Can-Am ATV for your next adventure? Power Lodge has you covered with three locations in Ramsey, Onamia, and in Brainerd. With full-service shops at three locations and award-winning customer service, Power Lodge is where I take my boat to get ready for the open water. Visit powerlodge.com to learn more.
We wish you a Christmas, we wish you a Christmas, we wish you a Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas and Happy New Year from the staff at Hair Trigger Gun Shop, and they've got you covered for Christmas. Rifles, shotguns, scopes, ammunition, holsters, and all kinds of stocking stuffers. Professional services are available at their on-site gunsmithing shop. Stop in at Hair Trigger Gun Shop and experience their great customer service in downtown Zimmerman. Call 763-856-2222 or visit hairtriggergunshop.com.
Devil's Lake, rated one of the top five fisheries in all of America. It's grown from 70,000 acres to 160,000 acres plus in the last 40 years or so, and that's nearly unlimited opportunities. Ice fishing is now, and Devil's Lake is well known for its jumbo perch, plenty of walleyes for you to keep, five per day as a matter of fact, with 10 in possession, and listen closely, there's no slot limit. Devil's Lake, every angler's dream come true. Hey, trust Drew Man on this one. Check it out at devilslakend.com.
Are you tired of losing your valuables down your ice fishing hole? Well, our friend Bill Katz of BK Outdoors LLC and creator of Katz Covers has a simple and inexpensive solution. Katz Covers are a strong polycarbonate hole cover you can stand on and fish through. Your phone, electronics, keys, kids, and pets can now be safe with this simple solution. Go to katzcovers.com. That's KATZKOVERZ.com. You can order directly or visit one of Bill's great retail partners to get yours now.
Mauer Chevrolet presents the 50th annual Minnesota Sportsman Show, January 9th through the 12th at St. Paul's River Center. Here's what you'll see at the show. Get early boat show pricing on the most sought-after fishing boats, pontoons, runabouts, personal watercrafts, docks, and lifts. Get early RV show pricing on RVs, campers, trailers, and more. Reserve the best vacation dates now with hundreds of hunting and fishing resorts so you can plan your vacation right at the show. See the latest in outdoors electronics from the experts at Reed's. Custom fishing rods, reels, and discount tackle. Check out Steve Porter's live white-tailed deer, including Heart Attack, a 32-point monster buck. Enjoy great family fun, including Twiggy, the water-skiing squirrel, Ron Shara's kids' fishing clinics, and learn how to train your dog for shed antler hunting. Take in fishing seminars with expert Ted Takasaki. For $1 discount coupons and show information, visit stpaulsportsshow.com. Bring the whole family to the Sportsman Show, January 9th through the 12th at St. Paul's River Center.
Enjoy a weekend in a premium sleeper ice house from icefishmn.com. These ice houses come ready to fish, preheated and drilled on Gull and other Brainerd area lakes. And there are no slot limits on Gull Lake. So reserve now at icefishmn.com.
Hi, it's Jim Erickson, your host of the All Request Lunch Hour. And on Tuesday, we'll be back live at the Osseo Maple Grove American Legion Post, number 172, County Road 81 at Osseo, noon to 1, the live All Request Lunch Hour. We'll see you at the Legion at Osseo on Tuesday.
Right, we're back. We're back with Chris Niskanen from the DNR and Clay Houle. Thanks for your patience. Just give us a couple of minutes. All right, Chris, thanks again for being on the Four Outdoors. But let's talk about the potential lawsuit from the Center for Biological Diversity filed a 60-day notice to sue the DNR because somehow you're not protecting the lynx from being trapped. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Sure. So one thing I want to really emphasize is we take our role and our responsibilities around the conservation of the Canada lynx, you know, really real seriously. We received the Center for Biological Diversity's notice of intent to sue earlier this month. We're still looking it over, but we believe we are in full compliance with the Federal Endangered Species Act around this issue.
Yeah, wasn't that 2008, something like that?
Yep. Okay. And also, and we're in full compliance with the 2008 court order pertaining to lynx and trapping within Minnesota's lynx zone. So we feel real comfortable and confident that we're in full compliance with the law and with the court order. So we'll be, looking through this this notice and any other relevant information, and we're always very cognizant of litigation, and we take these things very seriously, and we'll do our due diligence around it.
Thanks for your time, young man. I'll tell you what, Chris Niskanen, the communications director of the Minnesota DNR. You're a nice man. You're fun to have on the air, and you keep supporting us. We'll keep supporting you, all right?
Yeah, I got a whole bunch of fun stories I could tell you, Strew, and a few good ice fishing stories too. So
I love to laugh. I'm no boomer, but I love to laugh, pal. And
all right.
I read a lot of your stuff. I'm going over some of the old articles you did with the St. Paul Pioneer Press. Hey, Mark Lukey brought up a good point here. It would have been interesting if the St. Paul Pioneer Press guy, your buddy shot the dog of Ron Shara, who is a Minneapolis Star and Tribune guy.
that would have been trouble.
It was an accident.
We had a great newspaper war over the years.
Yeah,
and we were competing every day against those guys across the river, and they Dennis Anderson and Ron. I had utmost respect for those guys. I still do. And, it's kind of sad to see how outdoors journalism has gone. I mean, we've lost a lot of really good outdoor writers. But there's still good publications, outdoor news, and folks like you are keeping the fire burning and helping keeping people educated about what's going on.
We have a lot of fun.
Take care of yourself.
You bet. Have a great day, all right? Thanks a lot.
Yeah, thanks, sir.
While we transition to our next caller here coming up, I have a couple more shout-outs. Our friend Corey Bechtold says, my friend Jack that almost lost his life a few months ago joined me on the ice for a successful trip. Full report will be on the What's Working Now Facebook page.
Wonderful.
Thank you for writing in. And Minnesota Outdoorsman Facebook group says, hope you all are being safe on the ice. God bless and see you next year. Oh, I haven't used that joke yet.
Which one is that?
The see you next year dad joke. I got to put that one in my pocket. All right, introduce our next guest.
I don't know the joke.
That's all right. That's all right. I'll explain it later.
Hey, should I ask? Oh, never mind. Hey, Clay Houle, are you there, friend?
Yeah, I'm here, boss.
Hey, Clay, thanks for your patience, and thanks for being on the Four Outdoorsmen. Clay, I don't know much about you, except Thane Jensen said that you live and breathe ice fishing as much as anything. And he said he never met anybody else or knows of anybody else who catches more bluegills and bigger bluegills than you. Is that the truth?
It's just in my blood.
Tell us a little bit about your background, Clay Houle. I know you're with. Are you in the Clam Ice Team guy? One of those guys as well.
Yep.
All right. Tell us a bit about your background. Where you're from? How you got involved in ice fishing and who your mentors were when you were a kid.
Well, I was born in the Turtle Mountains. I'm Belker, North Dakota, and as a little kid, we moved away. We moved to Fargo, and I lived there for about 11 years. Well, then later on down the road, we ended up moving back. I started school and started freshman year in high school, and I met my girlfriend, and we went on from there. Well, senior year, I graduated, and we found out we had a little one on the way. Well, couple weeks down the road, we're having complications. I was ice fishing in between then time, but it was no bluegill. It was just northern, whatever I caught, you know. And that's when I was getting introduced to these Wexlers and all this electronics and stuff, something I never knew about. Well, we're having complications with my child, and we're traveling to Fargo twice a week. Well, I was a freshman in college, and one day, out of the blue, had a buddy, which actually he's not a buddy now. I call him one of my good brothers, Clayton Davis. You might have heard, or many people heard of him. I had him on Facebook, and he lived around me. Never met the guy in my life, never talked to him. And, well, I messaged him, hey, Clayton, I was wondering if you'd give me some tips on, I want to try to catch some of them bluegills you catch. Well, he told me, I was like, I just need to clear my mind, I have a lot going on. He said, yep, meet me at this lake here at this certain time. You can come fish with me. I'll be on my four wheel. So I was like, all right, I get off my afternoon class. I was done for the day. So I take off up there, and I just happened to have a new dog. I just bought a new dog, and I just bought myself a new Wexler 28. I was ready to go. I mean, I just thought, oh, yeah, I'm got top of the line here. I'm ready to give it all I got. Well, we get up to the lake. I wasn't paying attention to my dog. I look in the back seat, and my dog chewed up my transducer cord. You know, and I was like, well, I got an old 18 at home. I'm going to run and go get it. So I went home and got it. Well, got back up the lake, and I met Clayton, and we talked, and we got there at the evening bite, and he started telling me how these bluegill act and how they come in pairs, and started talking to me, teaching me. And I mean, this guy is the master on the quotas of these bluegills. If you ever go on his Facebook, you can see it. Well, he started teaching me, and that evening, he brought me fishing. I hooked up to the biggest bull bluegill I ever caught in my life. It was 11 inches.
Man, oh, wow. Man, that's a big fish. Yeah.
It was 11 and a half pounds. I mean, not 11, but a pound and a half. And I mean, when you're pulling it up through the hole, the fight of what these fish have, and you got a 6-inch hole with a 11-inch bluegill, and it doesn't go well. But that evening, it ended up going very well. It was a big, nice bull. From there, I started fishing with this Clayton Davis more and more, and then I started growing out more and started kind of going on my own. He's still teaching me. I fish with him a lot. Well, then I started going hard. I mean, sun up, sun down, I was punching holes and looking for bluegills. I mean, we got some of the lakes. We got a gold mine up here, a beautiful lake called Lake Minnegoshi, which part of it goes into Canada. Well, the part that goes into Canada has so much good vegetation, and I mean, so big for these big bluegill to roam around. It's they're hard to catch, but when you do catch them, it's going to be all worth it. When you're holding a bluegill that's bigger than a paper plate, thicker than you name it, it's something you can't get enough of.
Hey, I tell you what, I'm proud of you, young man, because if Mark Lukey or Eric Hegel, who are my co-hosts tonight, were telling the story, they never would have mentioned that lake. They would or they would have lied. Hey, I'll tell you what, now most of your fishing is in North Dakota, right?
What's that?
Most of your fishing is in North Dakota.
Yeah.
How about Devil's Lake? Ever get to Devil's Lake?
Devil's Lake is one of the best fisheries. 150,000 acres of water. I mean, when I first started fishing, after I got the hang of these bluegills, I started, you know what? I bought myself a Lawrence Hook 9 with a Dr. Sonar chip in it. And I still didn't know how to work the dang thing. I mean, I tried and I tried. I have a good buddy by the name of Chad Chrysler. He knows his knowledge about Devil's Lake. And he knows from old sunken roads to even a little sunken rock pile down there, from Devil's Lake to even any little slough that North Dakota has to offer with giant jumbo perch and walleye. And, Devil's Lake, the first time I ever went there, and we got on a hot bite. I mean, it was something between, it was white bass, jumbo perch, or perfect size walleyes. And, I mean, it was, Devil's Lake is something that someone's going to have to witness themselves or try. And Devil's Lake is legendary.
Well, I'll tell you what, by coincidence, Devil's Lake is our premier sponsor. I appreciate your mentioning all that kind of stuff. Hey, let's give some of our listeners right now, tips on catching bluegills right now. If somebody wanted to go out and catch some bluegills, give us some tips at this time of the year and considering the ice conditions.
Up here on our ice conditions, I mean, right now where I'm at, we're driving on the lake with one-ton trucks and ice castles.
Wow.
I mean, our ice conditions, this big snowstorm that missed us, I mean, it helped us a lot. I mean, we just have enough snow on the ice to keep the ice covered. But, I mean, our ice conditions is very awesome. I mean, beginning of the year, first ice, is I had Mike Howell all the way from Montana. He came up and he said, I've been coming up here for the last 4 years and I haven't witnessed you guys have this best ice ever. I mean, the ice was so good, it was so strong, and it formed together just perfect.
If you were going to take us out, Clay, if you were going to take us out right now to catch some bluegills, what would we do? What would we use for bait? How deep would we be? What kind of presentation would we use?
Okay, well, now of the conditionings and the time of the year, I mean, right now is this kind of really the slow time of the year, just the middle, you know, and like this time of year, I like basin fishing. I like to go in big basins, 20, 30 feet of water. And what I use a power noodle with light line, and I usually use a tungsten. And for my bait, I used to like plastics, but now I'm moving more towards live bait. I really love using waxworms. Usually I try to, when I look at my mapping or I look at my Navionics to see where I'm going to go or where I'm going to try, I always look for vegetation. Just like if, say, 20, 30 yards away from this basin, it drops up to 5 feet, goes into cattails.
Oh, boy.
Or weed sticking out of the water.
Good, Mark. Mark's got a question.
Yeah, I have a question for you. In the metro, unfortunately, it's pretty rare here to find big bluegills. When you get into a school of smaller ones, do you typically move or do you wait for the bulls to come in?
You know, usually when I do get into the smaller ones, if the smaller ones are there, the bigger ones are going to come and play.
Mm-hmm.
But usually what I do, I switch it up. I usually kind of go to a bigger tungsten. I usually just go to a bigger profile. That way the little ones kind of stay away. They're too small to bite it. But then you'll get the medium ochre ones. Then you'll get the big ones.
How big are we talking usually to weed out the little ones? How big of a jig do you use?
I use, I'd say, I usually like using
bigger than a small bluegill's mouth.
It's hard to say what it's usually kind of from up here in the Dakotas. It kind of depends on the lake.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hey, you have a question, Eric?
I was just going to ask if when you get into a situation like that, if you're usually finding the bigger ones below the smaller ones, if you're trying to get down first, or if it's just a matter of a bigger profile to discourage the little ones.
But to be honest with you, like, you'll find a lot of smaller ones. But when you do find the bigger ones, I mean, our bluegill up here is, I mean, they have no problem eating a shiner, a minnow. They have no problem eating those. And, I mean, what I usually found out is when big bluegill come in, the little ones leave. Like, they are scared of the big ones. I don't know if the bluegill are eating the bluegill or what's going on. But usually the little ones leave, and the big ones will come in maybe one or two at a time. So, say if I found a school of bluegill and I'm fishing them, I'll switch to a bigger profile. Hopefully, maybe it'll scare them off. But usually that's not the case with these bluegill up here. You just got to sit and wait your time. I mean, you got to be patient, and you got to make sure you have plenty of holes punching. You got plenty of batteries and plenty of lunch to pack.
Hey, Clint, I'll tell you what. We're going to let you go in a couple of seconds. You have one last question. How far is Lake Minnegoshi from the Twin Cities?
I would have to say Lake Minnegoshi. I'd say that's a good 500 miles.
Oh, that's too far. I like fishing, but I'm not going to go 500 miles. I'll tell you what. Thanks for being on the 4-Hour Outdoorsman. I'll tell you what. Congratulations on your fishing experiences, and keep on going. And you keep listening to the 4-Hour Outdoorsman. And we'll keep sharing stories about you at the same time, all right?
All righty. I appreciate it.
You bet. Take care of yourself. Be safe out there this winter. Take care. Yeah, Mark?
Yeah.
Well, before we go, I got one more shout-out. Mike Westman, Chris Bax, and Eric Schoenthaler. Eric's a friend I used to work with, just loaded up from Pool 2. River's muddy, fishing was slow, but still better than ice fishing. Happy New Year. So, that wraps us up, Strewman.
I guess, yeah. Thanks to Chris Niskanen from the DNR, Minnesota DNR, and Clayton Houle from someplace in North Dakota. And he's a big Devil's Lake fan. That's good for
us.
That's good for us. Hey, take care, everybody, and we'll see you next week. And thanks for listening to 4-Outdoorsman. And Eric's got something to say.
Get outdoors.
There you go.